You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
I'm George Reister, he's Ralph Amsden, and this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. So, a wild weekend in college football and the NFL that we have to talk about. Conor McGregor, I would say he lost his mind, but I don't know if he ever had it. And he still keeps trying to put his all this glory that he has, amassed in jeopardy. They are after our kids. And by they, apparently gays are after our kids. And of course, canceler consequence and the best of social media. You guys can shoot us a text message, 818-293-7547. That's 818-293-7547. Or you can shoot us an email. I'm Matt, I-M-M-A-D, at unafraidshow.com. So, Ralph, I guess we'll start at the beginning. What was your takeaway from college football this weekend?
I think that nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe, bro.
My takeaway.
Everybody can be a victim.
I think that it was a pretty good argument, and I know it's never going to happen in a million years, and anybody who feels this way is just screaming into the void, but it's a pretty good argument for not even having a top 25 till week 3 or 4.
I'm in favor of that, dude.
Yeah. It's never going to happen, though.
No, because people care about preseason rankings. They want to talk about it and all that stuff. And I'm like, bro, like, how are you supposed? I mean, every single year, there are like 8 teams that were in the top 25 that don't end up ranked at all.
Yeah.
That are that it's clear that they were nowhere near a top 25 team. And so it does. And the crazy part is that people don't realize that it does manipulate and affect the college football playoff and future rankings. Because how many times as we get later in the season do people come out and say, oh, this team has 4 top 10 wins, 2 top 10 wins or whatever. You're just like, they're not even ranked right now.
Right.
Like, what is a top 10 win if you get it in the beginning of the season and then the team turns out to go 6-6? That's not a top 10 win.
Well, you and I were laughing before we went live because Ohio State dropped 6 spots. And after a loss, a close loss to and they're both very obviously past the eye test, 2 very good teams. Great game, great environment. Ohio State's going to be fine.
Yeah,
there's nothing more clear than the fact that Ohio State's going to be fine. And then you look at Texas A&M, lost their quarterback, and Colorado led that game until there was like 2 minutes left in the game, and it was like a Hodor situation. It was horrifying to watch. Where
it was under Hodor, 2 minutes.
You knew Hodor was going to die, right? But like, it
who
was
is
how long
who is Hodor?
Game of Thrones. Did you ever watch?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. I was like, I thought this was one of them Lord of the Rings. It's early in the morning. I thought it was one of them Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter references. And I was like, bro.
Too early for that?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I've never seen Harry Potter. I've never read Harry Potter, never seen Harry Potter. None of it.
That's interesting. You know what's crazy is I think you would like it a lot. Like, I'm not the biggest fan. My wife loves it. I think you would like it. Like, getting to know you, I think you'd be super into it. But that's just the Colorado game was just like that, you know, they were in front of the door doing the Hodor thing for the whole time until...
and you knew it was over.
They weren't anymore. Yeah. But then to watch Texas A&M drop 2 spots after a win over Colorado, but Ohio State...
They looked horrendous.
Behind them.
Texas A&M looked horrendous.
And so the voters are telling us right now that Texas A&M should be two spots ahead of Ohio State. And I'm just looking at this poll like, why do we even do this? Ohio State would murder Texas A&M.
Dude, they
and
would,
they would
dude.
Do it in front of the 12th man.
Yeah. They would make everybody watch. You must stand here and watch while I do this. Yeah. Like, it would be a violation, and they would be like, we didn't want that, mommy. We did not want that.
So. But there's nobody. There's just, you can tell, I mean, Sam Howell struggling early on against Virginia Tech. There's just a lot of stuff that we anticipated to go one way. And, I mean, you could blame COVID. There's a lot you can blame. But at the end,
this happens every year.
The results. Yes, it does happen every year. It does. I'm this is going to be a terrible reference, but I think you'll understand it. Sam Howell going into this junior season was supposed to be a Heisman contender, but a lot of it has to do with what you're surrounded by. And I remember when Rudy Carpenter took the Arizona State to 10 wins and they went to a bowl game and everyone thought they should have been part of the BCS conversation. They ended up losing to Texas in a bowl game. So Rudy came back for his senior year. Everyone was like, it's on now. They went 5-7, right? Because the whole offensive line graduated. And so we cling to these storylines of like, well, Sam Howell's really good, therefore all North Carolina is going to be great. And they're recruiting great, so North Carolina is going to be great. But when you have to open up in Blacksburg, that's kind of a tough thing. But it's fun. I mean, it's really fun finding out what you're wrong about, what you're right about. I took the under in the Wyoming-Northern Illinois game. It was 44. Wyoming scored 50 by themselves. So
there's nothing worse than betting an under, and then one team destroys the under all by itself. All right.
There's one thing. There's one thing that's worse than that, and
what?
That is a team taking a knee when you're like 1 point away from hitting the over.
Oh, at like the goal line?
Yeah.
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 What do you – so okay, so now what are your top 10 right now in college football?
Okay, so my number one is Alabama. Two is Georgia. I think that they have the best defense in the country regardless. It's, do they have the offense to match? My number three team is Oregon. They proved it. They proved it on the road. Number four is Oklahoma. It's a shaky number four. I don't necessarily think Oklahoma is better than Ohio State, but they're currently undefeated, and so I gave them the edge. Oklahoma 4, Ohio State 5. I'm not going to drop them all the way to the 9 like the AP voters did. I have Clemson at 6. I still think they're probably one of the most talented teams in the country. They could run the table from here. Iowa at 7, don't feel great about it because I don't feel great about what Iowa State's bringing to the table this year. But that's still a good win, and it was a dominant win, and they did what they always do. I have Penn State at 8. I think they're getting a little bit of disrespect from the AP. I think that win over Wisconsin deserves more respect, especially being the first week of the year. This is where I go a little bit off the rails. I have UCLA at 9. I know what a good football team looks like. It doesn't matter who your competition is when everything's clicking. So I'll be early to the party, but I have UCLA as a top 10 team at number 9. And then I actually, despite them being kind of shaky at quarterback, I think they're solid everywhere else. I really like Virginia Tech. And I think the ACC actually deserves two teams in the top 10 right now.
Oh, God. Oh, Ralph. Oh. Oh.
The only people that are getting disrespected in my top 10 are Texas A&M and Cincinnati. And are you really, really going to go full out to defend either one of those teams?
Well, you don't have to go full out to defend Cincinnati yet, but they do have Indiana this week and then Notre Dame the weekend after that. But Notre Dame, they may lose. So how are we supposed to know how good this team is? Because they struggle. But the crazy part is they barely beat Toledo. They looked awful against Toledo. They almost lost to Florida State, who lost to Jackson State, which was insane how that game ended. But my top 10, I have Alabama at 1. They obviously were. And I judge my top 10 off of 3 teams. And the article will be out. 3 criteria. It is schedule played, dominance. And oh my gosh, I forgot my 3rd criteria.
And are they Oregon?
No, stop it, dude. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's games played, dominance, and your schedule. So And so I think that Alabama has been the most dominant team in college football so far. And then number two, I have Oregon. Because, and that has to do more with the way that they kind of dominated Ohio State and where I think Ohio State is. I think Ohio State's a phenomenal football team. Like their defense was a little shaky, like in terms of schematically, but they got dudes. They got dudes. UCLA at number three. Did you see the way that they just? How would you gauge their dominance in the first two games they played?
They look really good, man.
Okay.
They look really good.
And how would you gauge their schedule? Compared to Georgia, who played Clemson and UAB and only scored one touchdown versus Clemson.
And that's Clemson. Yeah, I think Clemson's probably talent-wise from top to bottom, a top three team.
See, I don't care about talent. I want to know what you put on. What did you put on wax? All right, I got Georgia four. So I'm not disrespecting them. Got Iowa five because they got quality wins. Cincy just for their dominance because they haven't played anybody yet, but they've boat raced and only given up two touchdowns. Oklahoma seven, Ohio State eight, Notre Dame nine, and Clemson 10. So I have 2-1 loss teams in the top 10. And then after that, it's like Penn State, Virginia Tech, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Florida.
Okay, so I would have had Florida at 11, and they're the ones that I debated whether or not to squeak into the top 10 or not. I knew they wouldn't be in your top 10, nor will they ever be.
Oh, my God. Yes, they can get in it. Dude, they've played FAU and South Florida, bro.
Yeah, it's
like, not. What do you like, – and South Florida is awful this year. South Florida, they beat South Florida 42-20, and NC State beat South Florida the week before 45-0. So I don't know what to make of it. Like, I'm not knocking them for giving up 20 points to them. I just don't know what to make of them yet. So that's why they can't be in the top 10. Like, I can't put you in the top 10 if I don't know what to think about you.
I have one. I think I have one criticism of your top 10.
In What's that? Health.
Well, I'm never going to get mad about Pac-12 homerism, but I will say dropping Ohio State as far as you did doesn't necessarily justify raising Oregon as high as you did.
Okay, so I dropped them from three to eight.
Right.
And the reason why is because I had them behind UCLA last week, so they're going to fall behind UCLA just because they took care of the games in front of them. And UCLA was absolutely dominant, so they moved up. And, so it wasn't like so much a fall. It's just the teams that are in front of them are undefeated but have also been very dominant, except for Oklahoma in their first game. Who was not dominant.
Can I ask you a question? Did you, are you one of those people that did not like it when the BCS removed margin of victory from the formula?
Margin of victory is stupid. Like that doesn't, like it promotes running up the score against inferior opponents to make it matter at the end of the season. Oh, this team's plus 632 at the end of the season. Like, bro, like nobody cares.
But when it's a human element judging it, you feel like you can judge dominance more holistically than just the final score.
Okay. Like when you watch the Oregon Ohio State game, they won by 7 points. But who dominated the game?
Offensively, Oregon dominated for sure.
Yeah, and they kept Ohio State from running the football. They threw it. They threw the shit all over the place, but they couldn't run it. All right, now on to the NFL weekend. The NFL weekend was wild, and it was, to me, it was just like the college football weekend. There were two There was a game in the NFL that I would have bet my mortgage on, bro. And there was a game in college that I've never felt like this sure about two games ever in my life. That was Stanford versus USC plus 17, which was just, I could not grasp why that line was there. I could not. That was the most insane thing that I had seen. And then there was, in the NFL, it was the Jaguars being favored by 3 over the Texans at Houston. That was mind-blowing to me. I was like, how is this humanly possible? Like, who screwed this up? Urban Meyer in his first game at the Texans, who are much better than people think they are. They're quarterbacked by a veteran who's good in Tyrod Taylor. He's not a superhero, but he is an upgraded version of Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater is good enough to be a starter, and he won. So... And Tyrod Taylor is like the 2.0 version, even though he's older. He's the 2.0 version of Teddy Bridgewater.
Neither one of them make a lot of mistakes, but Tyrod's been snake bitten. That's his whole thing. He probably could have had a long Ryan Fitzpatrick-like career, but he's always getting beat up, or he just has bad luck. And then Mark Ingram, that's a Heisman winner, isn't it?
Yep.
They got a decent back.
Who still got juice left, clearly.
Yeah, well, the splitting carries the way he has for most of his career. I mean, it's kept him kind of fresh, I think.
Yeah.
You were right. You surprised me on that one, because I did not think the Jaguars were going to win their first game, but I did think that the Texans were going to be one of those teams that struggles to get 5 or 6 wins this year.
Oh, they are going to get to the. I think that they're going to either be a 5 to 6 win team or like a 9 win team. Like, there's. You know, there's a big difference in that, because they do have some dudes. They're all on 1-year contracts. Yeah. They're playing hard together. They're trying to find a way to win. Like, they're not like they can't beat the upper echelon teams, but they'll be able to stick close. But what other results were you surprised by?
Well, if you remember when the Arizona Cardinals took Zaven Collins, was like number 16 overall, middle linebacker out of a tiny school. He said, "Steve, we're going to effing kill everyone." And it made me laugh because he's talking to Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals general manager. He said, "We're going to kill everyone." And it made me laugh because it's like the Urban Meyer mindset. Like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Like, you just being a little bit better than average is how you get by in the NFL. Excellence is a pipe dream. You got to work toward it. But what you're hoping for is to be 10-7, right? And then to have the ball kind of bounce your way, get good matchups in the playoffs. You're not going to kill everyone. And then in week one, the Arizona Cardinals beat Tennessee by 25 on the road. And it was a slaughter. It was an absolute slaughter. And that left me like, oh, maybe. Maybe this team is constructed really well. The addition of A.J. Green was kind of nice. Rondale Moore took a little pressure off Christian Kirk, and he was able to score a couple of times. Kyler Murray seems to be seeing the field really, really well, and despite the fact that the Cardinals don't really have very good defensive backs at all, but it doesn't matter when Chandler Jones beats All-Pro Taylor Lewan for 5 sacks.
Yeah, bro.
To the point where Taylor Lewan got on Twitter last night, and he's like, thanks, because I didn't realize how much I sucked. I'm going to get better from here.
Wow.
That was a surprise. I had not completely bought into the all Matt Stafford needs is a better environment hype. And then after last night, it's like, oh, maybe that's true, because he looked excellent quarterback in the race.
Well, every quarterback because Matthew Stafford is a good passer, right?
Yes.
And he did it with bad teams, bad lines, no running game, all of that. Now, if you put him in a competent situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if Jared Goff, like, what do you think about Jared Goff?
I think Jared Goff's fine. I just don't think that I think that it just has to be the right. I mean, he took the Rams to a Super Bowl.
But you're saying he's fine, right?
Yeah.
Like he's fine. Like you're. If you have Jared Goff, you're like, okay, we can get to the playoffs if we put people around him, a good system, all of this stuff, right? So yeah, now if Matthew Stafford...
If you set Jared Goff up to succeed, he will.
Yeah, but the thing is, he can't elevate the play of other people around him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whereas if you take Matthew Stafford, who's been dealing with a dumpster fire for 10 years, you put him in L.A.
Yeah.
And you put him in a functional, competent situation, he's going to look real good. Like that, I don't think that means that he's a top five quarterback, but I do think that if you put, okay, like if you put Tom Brady in any situation, he's going to turn it way more functional, right?
Yeah.
You put Patrick Mahomes in a situation, he's going to make it way more functional. But now if you put function around him, now you have given him something that's, and your team something that puts you in an elite category.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I don't know if T.J. Hockenson makes a Pro Bowl without Matthew Stafford. I don't know if Kenny Golladay makes a Pro Bowl without Matt Stafford. I know that Golden Tate never has.
T.J. Hockenson's going to make one with Jared Goff.
he did play good. Like, he did play good yesterday. That might have just been the defense they were going up against. But I don't know. I guess the Patriots looked okay, even though they lost.
See, I thought that was more about the Dolphins. And it was weird because with that game, so the Dolphins won 17-16 at the Patriots. And for the most part, Mac Jones, he looked okay. 29 for 39, a touchdown. I thought they protected him pretty well. He did some nice things. I don't think the whole offense was open for him. But I was more concerned about Tua. Because, yes, the Patriots' defense is going to be pretty good, and you got the win, but there was no wow. Like, there were no wow moments, and I was like, ugh. And I'm like, Tua, Jared Goff? Like, kind of same concept, right?
Yeah.
That you need that. I don't know, man. And it's sad because I like Tua. I think he's a great person, all this stuff. And I also think it's too early to fully pass judgment. But I also, my initial reaction is he's not special.
Yeah, I feel that way as well. I have five other quick take observations. I want to know what you think of them. One, and big 1A, I don't think it ever crossed Aaron Rodgers' mind that the offseason petulance, and I get that that's a big word and it implies negativity. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers realized that the offseason petulance would take the sails out of the entire roster. What do you think of that?
I think that this fine. I think that this team will be fine. I think this team will be fine. R-E-L-A-X. They will figure it out. They got 16 more games to go. They will go 11-6 and make the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, I have them being really good as well, but I think that it maybe should serve as a wake-up call to Aaron Rodgers that you gotta quit worrying about your beef with everyone on the planet and lead this team. You have to.
Yeah. See, I think you know what he needs to do? He needs to cut off that ugly-ass ponytail, dude. He looks like Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai.
That's really funny.
And everybody's like, why would you make a white guy the last samurai? But anyways, and that's the way I feel about Aaron Rodgers' bun.
That's a great movie, but you have to remember that all that was leading to everyone taking a massive L. It's The Last Samurai for a reason.
Yes.
Okay, here's another one. People seem to forget going into every single year that Mike Tomlin can coach his ass off. You know how big of a Buffalo Bills fan I am?
I picked the Steelers.
Yeah, you've got to respect that Mike Tomlin, given a full offseason, is going to know what to do in game one.
Yeah, dude, he has never had a losing record, ever. He's gone 8-8, but he's never had a losing record. He's won a Super Bowl, goes to the playoffs, wins the division, or second when the Ravens have been excellent. No matter who his quarterback is, Roethlisberger in, out, it doesn't matter. Has them in contention. So, I just don't see a world where he's got a functional team and they don't make the playoffs, because that's not what happens.
Here's another one. It is literally impossible for the Minnesota Vikings to not play to the level of their competition. Overtime loss at the Bengals. They're definitely the better team, but it doesn't matter.
This is Kirk Cousins' fault. This is Kirk Cousins' fault because he's a weak-ass leader. For not getting the vaccine, When you have quarterbacks who haven't gotten it, watch what happens to their teams at certain points this year. Because
the division in the locker room and
yes, because quarterbacks have to always at some point in time tell their team during the season, listen, guys, play for the team. Don't play for yourself. Don't worry about stats. Win, like just sacrifice for the team. But you won't sacrifice for the team. All right. Then you get the side eye from everybody.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame Kirk Cousins for the Minnesota Vikings not being able to stop the run, but I and Kirk did go off yesterday, but I do understand where you're coming from.
Yep.
All right, so here's another one. It is unfair. The Kansas City Chiefs roster is unfair. They were dominated yesterday for three quarters. They flipped the switch. They could have easily won by four or five touchdowns based on how they were playing in that fourth quarter alone.
Yep, 100%. And the crazy part is Baker Mayfield got the ball back on his 15-yard line with 2 minutes and 44 seconds. And this is the difference between an elite quarterback and a guy, is that when he got it back, you were like, and they needed a touchdown, you were like, nah, this probably won't happen. But if you had switched quarterbacks, you would have believed that they would have won. Like, prior to them winning, you
Do you ever play flag football where there was an all-time quarterback?
Yes.
Like, I wonder what teams would pay to share Patrick Mahomes to wear.
Oh my! Seat, like, wore a different color. That he gets to. Yes, dude. They were like, "Look, bro. You get him half the week. We'll take him half the week. We'll each pay him $50 million. It's fine. Right? It's fine. Listen, but you keep him healthy. Yeah. If he gets hurt on your watch, you owe us 2 first-round draft picks. Like, that's." That's got to be okay. What's your last takeaway?
My last takeaway is that we spent the last 50 years of football saying that if you have 2 quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
Yes.
Yet yesterday, 2 teams rolled out packages that were designed specifically for their rookies to get some run. And I didn't hate it. I did not hate it. The 49ers and the Bears both had stuff designed for the, and it, there's no question that the people that they have on their roster that they drafted are
meant. The Bears don't have a quarterback. That math is still true for the Bears because Andy Dalton was not good, and it's clear that Justin Fields is the better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame Andy Dalton because I'm a Cardinals fan, and so I understand what it's like to go against the Los Angeles Rams pass rush. I'm not going to blame him for this one. We'll see what happens next week.
Yes. And you will see from Kyle Shanahan that at some point in time, he's going to have to choose a quarterback too. Like they're one plus one equals zero in quarterback math. It's never, ever worked. The only time that it's ever even close to work is when you had Tim Tebow barrel punching it in or jump passing it in at Florida. Like, that's it. On the goal line. That's the only time that it's ever worked. So, and yeah, so no. It's a no for me.
Okay.
So, your boy, Ralph, Conor McGregor, is back at it again. This time, he was at the VMAs, and he got into a fight with Machine Gun Kelly. And Machine Gun Kelly, who's probably easy to fight and easy to get into it with because his face is very punchable, is, it was a disaster. And here he is on the red carpet of the VMAs throwing a drink at somebody. So, dude, Conor McGregor is trying to find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, he's got victory in life, but he's trying to find an L. And I don't understand it. I mean, like, I know people who do this, and it's atrocious, bro. It's atrocious, and it's sad when they... when they do stuff like this, when they find a way to catch L's when they should be and are winning in life.
Yeah. Part of me wants to say that this has got to be staged because there's no way anybody's this stupid.
What do you mean? Yes.
There's no way that you could stage making a sudden angry movement on a recently compound fractured leg and risking your own
health. That was my thing. His leg got better quick, bro.
Yeah. I mean, a clean break could do that. Like, you just get in a... he had a cane and everything. But I don't know. Like, okay, so I first saw Conor McGregor on The Ultimate Fighter. I think it was like the women's season when he would check in and help out. And I was like, man, this guy's great. This guy loves the sport. He loves his country. He wants to see people that are part of his gym succeed. And as he's gotten better and as he started to understand that if you play the role of the villain that you can get like extremely generationally wealthy off of it, part of me wants to believe that he's just playing a role. And the other part of me is like, but he keeps getting arrested. And
yes, there's a difference in playing the villain and actually being a big shit turd that finds a way to get arrested. Like, you can be the villain without going to jail.
Yeah. Here's my question to compare it to other sports. If Alabama went 3-5 over an 8-game stretch, and people were tuning in to hate watch Nick Saban's team get beat, and after the games, Nick Saban would go to a local bar, get in a fight, and spend the night in the clink, would anybody in their right mind say Nick Saban has this all figured out?
No. Hell no.
Right. So what bothers me is the 10,000 tweets every time Conor McGregor does something dumb.
He's doing it on purpose for the attention.
Yeah, everybody's got his name at the tip of their tongue, therefore he's winning in life. Like, no. In fact, any psychologist in the world would tell you that, like, these are not constructive behavior. Having money, you can't take that with you.
He's sabotaging his life, dude. Like, this is a clear sign that stuff is going off the rails. Like, Chris Brown, when he kept getting in trouble, I'm not talking about way past the Rihanna thing. You know, when he's always, police are at his house, neighbors calling, a girl says that somebody attacked her at his house and it wasn't him, but it's his house. That means that stuff spiraling out of control. You have to do something different.
Right. And I'm trying to find a way to relate it to people who think this is good. Like that kid at your school in junior high who would always get in fights and everybody ran out to see them fight on the soccer field after school. Right. You ran to see it because it was a spectacle, but at no point in your time of watching that kid getting his third fight of the month were you like, this kid's going to be an engineer someday. Never, ever attributed to success to this kind of thing. But if somebody in today's day and age can hold your attention, messy attention, dramatic attention, if somebody can, you attribute that as success. But like, if self-control is a fruit of the spirit and that's non-debatable, like, what is going on with these people? Are we really going to say that they're winning? Are we really going to say that the end goal is for your great, 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 great grandkids to be able to cash checks off your mess? I don't think so. I personally don't think so. I think that he's got to figure things out because the rest of his life, he's not a fighter anymore. He's 3-5 in his last 8 professional fights. He has to find a way to live his life with this level of fame that doesn't include fighting with rappers turned emo singers at the VMA in a pink jacket.
Dude, with a broken leg, bro. It's like, let's say that Machine Gun Kelly did decide to fight him, right? What would you do? I would kick him in his leg. I'm not even a fighter, and I'm kicking him in his leg. There's no way that leg is fully healed yet. Like, you want to fight me? There are no rules. This is not the octagon, pal. I'm kicking you in your shin, and we'll go from there. Like, and if I kick you in the wrong one, then at least you got to take all the weight and put it on the other one, and it's still going to crumble. So either way, I win.
And that's the other thing is, do you really need to remind people that you're that dude? Like, we all know
that dude doesn't have to remind people that he's that dude.
He shouldn't have to.
Yep.
He earned his reputation. It's not been going well in the last 5 years, but he earned it. He got there knocking out some of the baddest dudes on the planet. He shouldn't have anything left to prove to himself. Yep. Much less to a rapper turned like emo singer.
Yeah. Wait. What is emo singer?
Emo, like that whole phase of like Dashboard Confessional and My Dad Didn't Hug Me Enough rock music.
Oh.
Do you know what emo music is?
Nope.
See, that is more understandable than you not knowing anything about Nirvana.
I know Nirvana. I have a Nirvana shirt, pal.
We're going to do some. You're going to get me a little bit more cultured in certain things. I'm going to get you a little more. I'm telling you, we're going to launch this other show. And first thing we're going to do is take you through Friday Night Lights and then Harry Potter. And then you can come back at me with everything that I never got around to.
Oh, dude, we should actually do that. I'm in favor of that. All right. Next thing up is, oh boy, they are after our kids, Ralph. They are after our kids. Why are they after our kids? And who is they?
First of all, nobody gives a shit about our kids. Like, people are worried about their own stuff. But there is this prevailing thought, and if you came up Christian, then you know James Dobson and their whole organization out of Colorado Springs. There have always been a lot of people in our faith who believe that the world is out to corrupt your children, and it's interesting. I'm of the personal belief that actually nobody's really thinking about your kids. People are only dealing in attention and money and what is good right now, or what's countercultural, that, you know, where's the direction of society moving. I don't think anybody's actually out to shift the mindset and or physiological makeup of your children to influence their decisions in the future. Sometimes the government puts money into making sure your kids don't like do crack or rob family dollars. But for the most part, the parenting is still left to the parents, right? And so there is this prevailing mindset that has been around for 50 years, though, that popular media is out to change the value system of your kids and take it out of your hands, that it's your job to teach your kids your values.
Okay, here is what, and I know that this may be an unpopular opinion and some people may get offended by this, but you came here for the truth. And the truth is that when we talk about other things, whether it's the Me Too movement, whether it's whatever else, there's always an overcorrection in life, right? Always an overcorrection. And then you figure out where the actual sweet spot is. So there is a, in our life, right? People of the LGBTQ community have been treated very, very poorly, right?
Yes.
And there is an overcorrection because there goes from, you know, making sure that people are treated with equality and equity, right? But then there are people that do push an agenda. And they're like, well, we need to make sure that we have enough gay shows on television. We need to make sure we have enough black shows, enough this and that, right? Whatever it is, that there is an agenda being pushed, and instead of actually understanding how things happen. Like, shows that I love to watch, right, are shows that are very, I don't call it inclusive because I don't like it forced on you. I feel like it should be organic, right? Where you cannot live your life without coming across gay people, right? You can't live your life in a big city at all without coming across black people and other minorities that are not necessarily in your friend group, but at least peripherally in your life, right?
Okay.
So those are the types of shows that I like to watch. That it's very that it's very relatable to the human experience.
Representative of, still probably more reflective of the personal experience that you live, but still with a head nod to the fact that, like, we don't exist in a bubble.
Correct. But then at the same time, I don't care about shows like or have a problem with shows like the L Word. That's just not for me. That's just not for me. But that doesn't mean it's not a good show. But then also there are heterosexual like where that aren't for me either. So I find stuff that I like to consume. But this whole they are after our kids thing was about a YouTube search. And this lady tweeted, well, actually, you don't know whether it's a man or woman. It's a avatar of a lady, and name is Mama Bear, and the name is like Tierra Larai or something. And it says,
yeah, it could definitely be a guy named Greg in Greenwood, Colorado.
It says, this was the third video that popped up when I searched baby videos on YouTube. How much more proof do you need that they are after our kids? And it was like baby video and then Lil Nas X industry baby, where they have completely naked men with blurred out genitalia on the video. And this is what sparked the they are after our kids conversation. And it's like, okay, so as a Christian man, right, I believe that Lucifer, Satan, was the minister of music and an archangel, right? And when you think about the power and influence of music is, people play music before they go to war. In the Bible, they played music. The walls fell down. Like, it's like people use it to, like, we use music when we're feeling some type of way to relate and cope emotionally. So music is extremely, extremely powerful, right? So you do have to guard what you put in your ears, guard what you put in your eyes, all of those things. But I think that while Lil Nas X is here, right, and we're in a day and age where you can't fully, like, censor your kids from a lot of these things if you don't believe in them or they don't fall within your value system. But the important thing is that you have to parent your kids and show them the way that you want them to live or that you feel is right. And then they have to make their own choices from there as they get older. So I don't know. So for young kids, you got a parental control. You got to do this and that. So I don't know, man. I don't think that they are after our kids, but I do think that there are people that push an agenda.
I have a few things to say on this. Number one is that the advent of the internet is like living in a house where everything is happening in every room. So you all of a sudden you moved your family into a 500 room house. And there's some great stuff going on behind some doors, and there's some not great stuff going on behind other doors. And none of the doors have locks. And so you have to be 10 times more responsible with your kids than previous generations had to be with their kids, because they live in this big house where anything is accessible, right? And so it's not necessarily about – it's not necessarily about protecting your value system or worrying about the value system of others creeping into the way that your kids live. It's about the fact that, like, anything can happen in this house and the doors don't lock. So you have to find a way to go around and lock the doors that you don't want your kids to go into. Or you need to restrict their access to certain wings of the house. It becomes so much an issue of parental responsibility.
And it's hard. It is extremely hard. Here's the other part of it, Ralph, is that I love that analogy. 500 room house, all the doors are unlocked, right? But here is the thing that I've learned about people is, and their kids, is that we, and I'm going to say we just... because I'm not singling people out. We sometimes as people try to protect our kids from things that we feel is okay for us. You see what I'm saying? Where,
well, yeah, I'm not going to let my kids watch Game of Thrones with me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No. I'm not even talking about like age appropriate things, right? Okay. Like I know people who smoke weed, right?
Yeah.
But then they would be ready to beat their kid if they smoked weed. So okay. It's like, instead of saying to your kid, all right, look, this is a decision that you have to make as you get older. It's not good for you when you're young. It affects your brain, like blah, blah, blah. And you're more likely to do X, Y, and Z. So, you know, after you become an adult, if you decide to do this, here's how you do it responsibly. This. But I don't want you to do it prior to that for these reasons. Like that, like that's a big difference in saying, all right, kids, doing drugs is bad. Or like Lil Nas X, you're doing this. This is bad. Gay music singer, but then they got these. But then they're on the down low in the closet, or you know that they do freaky stuff on the weekends. Like there's a lot of that going around. Or people who are like, do not have abortions. It is the terrible, most terrible thing in the world. You're gonna die. Blah, blah, blah. But then as soon as they get their mistress pregnant, they're like, you need to have an abortion. That's the type of stuff I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely all lobbyists for our own self-interest, and our values aren't our values unless they're tested. Like, you can say that your values are a certain thing, but unless you're actually up against it. Like, I would tell you right now, being in the Christian faith, every single time one of my friends would come out to their parents, and their parents might have been really, really heavy on one side of, like, this isn't natural, or this isn't something that we're even going to deal with, and this is something that you can pray away. And then when faced with the fact that like their kid is a normal human being and love is love, and they don't have any control over what is encoded into, you know, who they are, then they switch up real quick. Like there's a reason that the Cheney family, the most conservative family, you know, from where I'm from in Wyoming, you know, part of the Bush administration and everything like that. There's a reason that they don't champion the gays are bad cause, right?
Yeah, because their daughter.
It affects them personally, right? Yep. And so, I would just, it's a really complicated discussion, but I bring it back to the whole thing of like the idea that people are out to change our kids' minds on things. Is there an agenda? Everything has an agenda. And you brought up the idea of the pendulum swinging. And the idea that for the longest time you weren't allowed to put any type of imagery on the television screen that affected a lifestyle that existed. It absolutely existed, right? Like Will and Grace was our first media encounter with this. It's completely absurd, but we're cool with Friends and Seinfeld, where like the plot is always derived from heterosexual relationships. Like media is a weird thing anyway, and you should always guard what you consume and how you spend your time and what you waste your time on. But at the same time, like the idea that media was ever representative is ridiculous, because how long did it take to, like, we talk about the Jeffersons as revolutionary because and that's absurd. Yep. Because like there were and now you're seeing more and more network television put like black entertainment at the forefront. And it's and people are like, oh, finally, like, of course, finally, you know, yeah. Whereas there's probably a lot of white people out there that like, oh, the pendulum has swung too far. They're trying to push this culture on my kids, and they're trying to cater to a certain.
No, they're not pushing it because you're stealing it already anyway. like your kids are like hip hop. Hip hop is not for black people. Hip hop is a culture. It's not just like that's the thing that I think that people didn't understand because they were so afraid of rap music. Right. But hip hop is a culture. That's why you go to restaurants and hip hop plays. It is something about it that it doesn't matter your gender, race, what continent that you live on. Hip hop resonates. That's what K-pop is. K-pop is an Asian version of hip hop.
Right, and country and everything to everything, an audience, and everything has a season, and I feel that. But I would say this: if you are worried about what your kids are consuming, you have to be involved, right? Because if you, McDonald's has an agenda with the stuff that they put in the food, including toys, to get your kids to want to come back.
Yep.
Absolutely. Nobody is worried so much about changing the lifestyle of your children as they are setting them up to be financial contributors to their cause for the long term.
Yep. Yep.
Almost every decision that is made in popular media is about money. And one of the best ways in music, George, to get people's money out of their pockets is to push the boundaries. But we accelerated how far to the outside the boundary was, that these are the two boundaries that are left. Lil Nas X with a bunch of naked men in a music video. There's not a lot of places left to go from there.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it, which is an interview that I heard with the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins 10 years ago. He said the last rebellion left for rock and roll is God. We did sex. We did drugs. We did all of the other stuff. We did the political stuff. The last thing that nobody's talking about, as the culture swings to be more secular, it is going to feel rebellious to talk about God. And what do we have now? We have one of the biggest artists in the entire world, Kanye West, creating controversy by making Christian music.
Yep.
The boundaries are where everything is going to exist to try to get your attention, because it gets harder and harder to get people's attention when we normalize a lot of nonsense. If you don't want your kids watching certain things, you got to be involved. But the idea that anybody is out to change your kid when you're responsible for your kid is crazy. Everyone's just trying to get paid. That's it.
Yep. No, that is a great, great way to look at it. All right. Now it is time for cancel or consequence.
Do we need to cancel? Cancel? Or is there a justified consequence? Let's find out now.
Cancel or consequence is literally where you tell, where we tell you whether somebody's being canceled out in the world or they are receiving consequences for what they did. And today's person is Kendrick Lamar, one of Ralph's favorite rappers. He has a new album out, and this song, the end of this song, is making Ralph sad and making Ralph cry.
Let's get this shit. Let's get this shit. Let's top of the morning, 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 top of the morning. Hold on. Let's get this shit. Let's get this shit. Let's get this shit.
Man, what is that?
I don't know, bro.
That makes me so upset.
So is he being canceled or is he receiving consequences for that bizarre ending to what seemed like a good song?
So yeah, that's just it. All I've been hearing is that like 12 second clip on the internet and everybody making fun of Kendrick for being a black leprechaun or whatever. I like Kendrick Lamar. I've told you that I think he's the best, which makes me in that weird category of like NBA fans who think Steph Curry is the greatest basketball player of all time. LeBron Jordan's in the room. Look, we're having a debate amongst the adults here. You need to go wait outside. So, like, you have, like, the Tupac and Biggie and Jay-Z and Kanye fans all having this discussion, and people stroll in, and they're like, what about Kendrick? And you just get thrown out like you're Waldo.
Like, man, get out of here. Don't come over here with that.
So I need Kendrick Lamar to be perfect all of the time in order to not have it all fall apart. This was not that. This was on somebody else's album. I think it was Baby Keem, and he was featured on a track called Range Brothers. And the actual song, like, this is definitely not a single for radio. And it's kind of a weird conversation between like an older rapper and a younger rapper of like saying like, hey, you don't need all of the flash and the glitz and the glam. Like, it, life's not just about that. And the younger rapper saying like, I have roaches in my house. Life's not like, and so it's actually like kind of a compelling conversation. And then for some reason, it feels like a parody. It doesn't even feel real. It gets into this whole top of the morning thing at the end of the song. And that's what everybody's picking on. And he's been trending for like four straight days on the internet. And it is hard to swallow as a Kendrick Lamar fan that like he's getting, I think this is consequences. I think there's a lot of people who just don't want to let Kendrick into the party, but this is not a good way to get in.
I totally agree. I would agree. He's receiving consequences. He's not being canceled. He just did something that was artistically questionable. And we will actually see where this lands in a few years.
I would definitely not recommend doing what I did and listening to it like 25 different times to figure out what the hell was going on. Because now it's all I can think about.
Because you're going to feel like you just did mushrooms if you
every,
do that.
Every morning when I woke up for the last four mornings, it's let's get this shit.
top of the morning. I'm telling you, it's getting to, bro, you might be on to something. I might put that as my ringtone. I'm going to put that as my alarm. top of the morning. I like that. All right. Now it is time for the best of social media, where we literally show you the best things from social media.
Now, here's the best of social media.
First thing up, this is pretty dope. This dude, he made like a outlet that opens to like a tiny office or house. And he said he's just going to leave this here for the next tenants. What do you think about that, Ralph?
That is the most elaborate prank I've ever seen that might never have a payoff, ever.
Why do you think it'll never have a payoff? Somebody, or you won't get to see the payoff. That's the worst part about it.
Oh, yeah. No, so you just kind of have to kind of imagine what you would do if you were in that situation.
And hope they post it on the internet.
Yeah. Or somebody, like, who is very online is... and just moved into a house is going around taking off all their outlet covers right now to see if that's the place, if they got that place. But I know for me that like, that's not, I don't go taking outlets off the wall very often. Most people don't. So there
no, it just swung open. He didn't even have to open it. It just swung open.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is extremely elaborate. I would, as if my son was to do something like that, my only question would be, why? But I do think that it is extremely funny, and I hope we get to find out who is blessed with that prank.
Absolutely. All right, next thing up. Now, is this inbounds or out of bounds? Proposing to your girlfriend after you just get beat on a Hail Mary and the other team is still in the background celebrating.
Well, part of the vows are for better or worse.
So this is the worst part, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's, if I was a fan of Florida State, like, I don't know what I would do here. That is, there are probably a lot of people that are just saying like, this is why we lost. People were more worried about what was going to happen after the game than in the game.
Yeah, well, I guess, dude. I mean, we don't even know if this guy played. He doesn't have grass stains on his knee, on like his pants, and he doesn't appear to have any on his jersey, even though we can't see the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, listen, you got to do what you got to do. Her family could have flown in for the game, and this could have been his one opportunity, and you got to do it no matter what.
I suppose.
Actually, if the family's there and all that and you were going to go eat, I probably would have waited until later. But yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
I don't know, man. As the son of two parents who
as you say that.
Yeah. Well, what up, Roman? I hear him in the background hanging out. As the son of two parents who probably the proposal came right after my mom told my dad that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
The Catholic guilt set in and they just had to get stuff done. I think that maybe that's this situation where she's like the night before, honey, I got something to tell you.
Like, oh, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. This might be one of those things where they, this is going to sound so horrible to say, but they get married tomorrow and 8.5 months from now, there's a baby. And they're like, no, it was early.
Yeah, exactly. No, we got pregnant on the night that we got engaged. Yep. All right. The next thing up, the Jaguars went very, very far with this video. I mean, the Panthers. So what did you think about that video?
That's a no for me. I live in this city. I live in this city, and now I'm worried about a giant panther.
Dude, that would scare kids, dude. They'd be like, there's a panther. I'm not going to the stadium.
Oh, my God. Call in the military. Good Lord.
Dude, that's like the King Kong of panthers. Like, you could put the Carolina Panther versus, like, King Kong and Godzilla in a movie.
Show it to Roman. Pick Roman up and show him that video. Okay. See what he thinks of it.
Okay, let's see.
Right. Hi, Roman.
Roman, what do you think of this video, pal? Look. 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 Okay. He's not interested in the video. But you guys, that is right through a wrong for the day.
See, and now this is what we're talking about. The Carolina Panthers have an agenda. Panthers have an agenda to horrify your son. We just played right into their hands.
Exactly. All right, peace out. Catch you guys on Wednesday.